Call Back the Past.
And now, over to your editor, Percy C.
Find that I have so many friends. It's almost the only thing that a man of letters, a writer, playwright, artist, it's almost the only thing that he has left. The war taxation has left me very little more than that, although you all think I'm a very rich man. Still, I have nothing to complain of. When I look round you, I see some Americans there. Oh, I dare say there are a few foreigners. I have friends everywhere. And one man, a very famous man in his way, used to say that I had friends everywhere, that I hadn't an enemy in the world, and that none of my friends liked me.
George Bernard Shaw speaking on his 90th birthday in 1946. Of war still hung in the air as the Nuremberg trials got underway in 1946. Germany's Ribbentrop, Goering, and 10 others received death sentences and Rudolf Hess life imprisonment, while Schacht and von Papen were acquitted.
I will now call upon the defendants to plead guilty or not guilty to the charges against them. Hermann Wilhelm Goering.
Bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage nicht schuldig.
Rudolf Hess.
Nein.
That will be entered as a plea of not guilty. Joachim von Ribbentrop.
Bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage für nicht schuldig.
Albania's King Zog was deposed in his absence and Albania declared a republic. Juan Perón was elected president of the Argentine, while Umberto II of Italy had a short reign after the abdication of Victor Emmanuel III, shortly before Italy, too, became a republic. The song of 1946, Now is the Hour. Among the books of that year, All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren, The Snake Pit by Mary Jane Ward, Frank Yerby's The Foxes of Harrow, and Literature and Sound, a dramatic telephone conversation called Sorry, Wrong Number, brilliantly acted by Agnes Moorehead.
I'm sorry, what number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 40098, but it wasn't. Some wires must have got crossed. I was cut into a wrong number, and I just heard the most dreadful thing, something about a murder, and... Operator, you'll simply have to retrace that call at once.
I beg your pardon?
I know it was the wrong number, and I had no business listening, but these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge, and we've got to stop them. We've just got to.
What number are you calling, please?
Well, that doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it for me, and we've got to find out what it was immediately.
What number did you call?
Oh, why are you so stupid?
I'll connect you with the chief operator.
Oh, I think it's perfectly shameful. Now, look, I told you to try Murray Hill 40098 for me, and you dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was connected with some other number, and I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again on purpose. Why, you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 40098 in the same sort of...
Plays of a more conventional nature in 1946, where Eugene O'Neill's The Iceman Cometh, All My Sons by Arthur Miller, The Winslow Boy by Terence Rattigan. And on the musical stage, towering above all the other contributions, Irving Berlin's Annie, Get Your Gun.
There's no business like show, business like no, business I know.
Everything about it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow.
There's no people like show, people they smile when they are low.
Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they've hung the star.
Let's go on with the show.
The League of Nations finally died in 1946, its assets being passed on to the newly formed United Nations organization. President was Belgium's Paul Spaak and Secretary General Norway's Trygve Lie. John D. Rockefeller donated an $8.5 million site for the permanent headquarters of the United Nations in New York. The first session of the General Assembly, however, took place in London. The proceedings were opened by British Prime Minister Clement Attlee.
We realize, as perhaps never before, a choice is offered to mankind. Twice in my lifetime, a war has brought untold sorrow to mankind. Should there be a third world war, the long upward progress towards civilization may be halted for generations, and the work of myriads of men and women through the centuries be brought to naught. The preamble of the Charter of the United Nations admirably sets out the ideals for which men and women laid down their lives during the war. But the affirmation of principles is easy. The translation into action, the making of a working reality out of an ideal, is very difficult.
At the movies of 1946, Rex Harrison and Irene Dunne in Anna and the King of Siam, Claude Rains and Vivian Leigh as Caesar and Cleopatra, respectively, Myrna Loy and Frederick March in The Best Years of Our Lives, Lana Turner and The Postman Always Rings Twice, and Judy Garland singing Jerome Kern's songs in Till the Clouds Roll By.
Look for the silver lining whene'er a cloud appears in the blue. Remember somewhere the sun is shining, and so the
Britain, the ruling Labour Party nationalised the Bank of England, civil aviation and the coal industry. Ousted wartime leader Winston Churchill was in Fulton, Missouri, where he first talked about the Iron Curtain.
No, nobody knows what Soviet Russia and its communist international organisation intends to do in the immediate future. From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe.
A world wheat shortage in 1946 caused hardships in many countries, while in America, President Harry Truman had his hands full with strikes in various industries. There was an unusual strike as well, as Caesar Petrillo, head of the Musicians Union, called his men off in an attempt to force the radio stations to use more live music rather than canned or recorded music. The strike didn't last long and achieved little.
Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Here am I begging for only 5 minutes more. Only 5 minutes more.
Frank Sinatra singing 5 Minutes More, one of the hits of 1946, a year in which the first electronic brain was completed at Pennsylvania University, and Chester Carson invented xerography. Major scientific interest, however, lay in the possibilities following the release of atomic power. The great nations were concerned about the misuse of atomic energy, and one of the first resolutions passed at the United Nations was the formation of the Atomic Energy Commission. In a rare speech in English, Russia's Vyshinsky said,
"This is the first important act of the joint efforts of the United Nations to secure peace and security in the world. Let this noble move achieve a true and complete success."
And America's Secretary of State, James F. Burns.
"The problems presented by the discovery of atomic energy and of other forces capable of mass destruction cannot be solved by any one nation. They are the common responsibility of all nations."
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seif and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.